Has he been good to you?
I tell you, I know, Shelby, what you're breathing hard about. But you just gotta take it with the flow.
Wasn't just me watching you.
I know the Lord was too. Oh, me. All right. Well, if you will, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And look at some things that, as far as ambassadors for the Lord. And here in Matthew chapter 28, let me see. Yeah. Verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 in book of Matthew chapter 28 speaks about, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, behold, now be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and thou shall they see me. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel and gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can read the precious word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our eyesight that where we can read it. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, now, and that you'll bring back remembrance of what you spoke to me about, Father, about the message today, Father. And Father, that we can be able to do what's right unto thee today. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for everyone that's made their way out today, God, that you may bless them. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would just touch their hearts and help them this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Here we have just seen where we're speaking about the resurrection. We're just speaking about the resurrection here in chapter 28. But chapter 28 also ends up as a missionary journey. As a missionary journey. And the greatest commission that I believe that we as Christians, that God has so graciously provided for us to do. And this is one of the greatest, I think, of all the dispensations of grace, and all the during the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says over here in verse 19 and verse 20. No, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoken unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we see right here where we can see right here that the word ambassador is not mentioned per se, but in what we have just read in chapter 28, it's what it's speaking about. It's speaking about the ambassadors and speaking about the Christians. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and we must go and we must tell people, because, you know, we can go back and we can look and we can see things that's happened over the years. And not only that, we can see where even the United States government, we have ambassadors that represents the United States. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to represent Him on every hand. We're supposed to represent Him as we go about doing what He'd asked us to do. And, you know, and that's proclaiming Jesus Christ. That is proclaiming the gospel. That is proclaiming the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. And I thank you for that. I thank the Holy Ghost of God that He revealed unto me one day that there was a Savior. There was a Savior that loved me enough that would die and be buried and be hung upon that cross and be buried. But it did not stop there, that it would raise again on the third day. I thank God for that. Because if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, it wasn't for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit who convicted me, then I'd have never known any of that. Because that is what brought me to the Savior. That is what brought me unto Him, that I would go to Him and ask Him to do His work and to do His bidding upon my life and the power that He had within His own life. And I tell you, it's a blessing just to know that He calls me His ambassador. Now we know that here, as far as the United States is concerned, here we, this past year or last year sometime, whenever it was, we had an ambassador overseas that was representing the United States of America. He lost his life. But you know something? That right there also can utter us some thoughts also, that we must not worry about the things that we come up against. Because if we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do the leading, if we allow the Lord to use us in what He wants us to do, then He will go before us, because it's nothing we can do. We can't do nothing if we go without Him. And if we go before Him, we're saying, Lord, I can handle this today. I can handle it today. We can't handle nothing. We can't handle anything today. Why? Because if we do, if we got that much of a thought in our mind, in our heart, that we can handle what is thrown at us today, then we're sadly mistaken, because we can't handle it. Because why? Because Satan is right there. He's right there just to take us. He's right there just to snatch us out of the portals of glory. And I tell you what, now he will, I think the Satan has a devil. I mean, the devil has so many individuals today blinded unto Jesus' word. Because he's blinded them to the point They think that they can stay at home. They can stay at home and they don't have to worry about coming to church. But I'm going to tell you something. One day we're going to have to stand before Almighty God. One day I'm going to have to stand there before God the Father and before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to have to give an account for every idle word that I said. I'm going to have to give account for every message that I've ever preached, every word that I've ever read from God's word. I'm going to have to give an account. And you know, some people don't realize it anymore. We're going to have to give an account because the word of God says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess what? That he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And they think that they, that's a bunch of malarkey, you saying and all of that and everything. It's in God's word. It's in God's word. Who do we think to give us the ability to be able to go about doing and the ability to go out here and breathe the fresh air? Who gives us the ability to allow these lungs to expand? Who allows me to be able to have the strength to be able just to walk? He does. He has all power. And you know, I've said this to several times and to different people and different preachers and everything. And I've even said the same thing to my wife. I suspect, but can you imagine seeing an individual, a human being, with the nose that we have right here in the middle, between our eyes and between our tongue? Have you ever thought about what we'd look like if we had our nose down here where our mouth is? You ever thought about how we would look if we had our eyes on both sides of our head? How would we look if we had our ears right here? Only God can place the things in the right order. Only God can do that. And even God himself, even man, they can't even understand. They don't understand the human body because they think about, well, man created his body. Well, I'll tell you what. If man created his body, I want to see who created the man that created his body. Just like I've had people tell me, say, "Oh, you believe in God? You believe in God's creation? You don't believe in evolution? You don't believe in all of this? You don't believe that you come from a monkey?" I says, "No, I sure didn't." I said, "I can make you laugh when I'm looking at you. And you may look funny, but I'm going to ask you something." I said, "You say that I come from a monkey? I'm going to ask you a question. Where did the monkey come from?" "Where did the monkey come from?" They can't give you no answer. They say, "Well, a monkey come from the ape." "Where did the ape come from?" "That's right." Bye-bye. You take your hand. But I tell you, we must let people know in whose side we're on and who we are for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his ambassadors. We're supposed to go and we're supposed to teach people. We're supposed to witness to them. It says in the latter part of 28, it says we must go into highways. We must go into hedges. We must compel them to come out among them and hear the word from the Lord. Now, I know I've heard preachers say, well, compel them is like that you must go out there, and if they just kind of turn their nose up at you and everything, you're supposed to go in and get them and drag them to church. No. No. Because see, if I drag them to church, that means that Jesus Christ is also dragging them. And he's going to give us all a free will. He's all give us all a free will. But a true ambassador does not spend time at the feet of Jesus. We don't spend time here at the church. We don't spend time in fellowshipping one with another. A true ambassador is to go out and be a witness. A true ambassador is one that would depart from the worship service and go out and tell somebody else. That's what we need to do. We need to continue telling people about Jesus, because he is coming back. He's coming back very, very soon. Very soon. Quicker than we can ever imagine, he's coming back. What time frame is it? I have no idea. God has his own time frame. We don't. We have ours. But see, his time and our time doesn't come together. Like, I think about 3 or 4, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I heard that here in the United States that I think it's this year, well, start next year when the time goes back to after daylight saving times. They couldn't change it this year. But next year, they're going to change it. And they're going to say, we're going back to daylight saving times, and we're not going to change it no more. We're not going to continue changing it because it hasn't worked. The reason they come up with this daylight saving time was when they had the fuel shortage and you would have more daylight. And I ain't never figured that one out yet. How they figured that we can have more daylight. Only thing it doesn't just move the hand up one notch. And it said we've got more daylight. We had the same amount of daylight before. The sun just come up. That day, yeah, the time was back. But they said, we get more daylight hours today. We do? I've never understood that. Never will either. So now they've come up and they said, well, we're going back to daylight saving time because we got more time. We got more daylight. So since we got more daylight and using the daylight saving times, then next year we're going to go to daylight saving times. The first week in March, I think it is. That's it. We're not going to change it no more. We're not going to mess with the time no more. Well, they shouldn't have been messing with the time anyhow. Now you got the little children out here. They're getting on the school bus now in the dark. And you know what darkness means in the Word of God? Sin. That's when sin is on the rampant. That's when sin takes place. It's more prevalent during the darkness. But see, we even have more darkness today than what we ever have before in a lifetime. Because we have sin during the day. People today, they just soon go out there and come up to my automobile if I'm driving, if I stop at a stoplight. They just seem to come over to my car and pull a pistol on me or 357 and put it up against my head and blow my head off. They just soon do that during the day as they had at night. And just be able to come in there and be able to rob me in my automobile. Well, and one thing I can say is, if they're aiming to get a whole lot from me, any given time, it don't make no difference. It can be the first of the month, the middle of the month, last of the month, or whatever. They're not going to get much. They're not going to get much. But they're willing to do all of that to get caught. And then end up going to prison. And I've thought about that a lot. I really have. I've thought about it a lot. But you know, we are reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. I'm supposed to go and tell everybody how great the church is doing. We don't have no true ambassadors no more in the house of the Lord. The United States don't even have no true ambassadors anymore. Why? Because they're on the field, they're overseas, and they are in the in the places where the government has sent them to be an ambassador to that country for the United States. But see, they ain't got nothing to brag about. They ain't got nothing to brag about in the United States no more. Just like the people today that's in church, a whole lot of them, they won't brag about the Lord. They won't go out here and tell people about the Lord. Why? Because they're not even saved. I believe they just come in and they just kind of mingle in with the people. Said, now I fit in. Now I fit in. You have people that go to these bigger churches. Got 800-900 people in them, 1,000 people. And you have people come, you come and go to them, and they walk in. And then they kind of get, which already lost, but they get lost in the shuffle. They're just among the people there into the shuffle. So they end up going to continue on going to church, and they're having, they'll talk to different people, loud and everything. And they get to the point that they know how to talk. The Christian talk. It's a whole lot to talk. To talk. You got to walk the walk. I got something that I made for Brother James. Albert, maybe I've told y'all. Maybe y'all have seen if you've been to his church. But over the door, the double doors right there in the vestibule, It's got a saying up there. Enter to worship. Enter to worship. But then, as you leave the church, if you leave the sanctuary, and before you get out there, outside of the building, the church, and outside of the building, got another one over the doors at the back, the leads outside. Enter to serve. Enter to worship. You come to the house of the Lord. We must come in here and serve who? We don't come in here to serve Satan. We don't come in here to serve jokes. We don't conserve this and that and everything. We must come in to what? Serve and worship Him. And do what He asked us to do. And as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit roams the aisles and teaches and speaks to different people about this individual and about that individual and about you need to call somebody, you need to go get in touch with somebody this week, then they can go out there right before they go through the back door. Got the sign on what it says. Enter to serve. We serve the Lord, not in here. I don't serve the Lord in here. I know that I'm saved. I saved before I even come in Him. I worship Him. I thank Him for everything He's done for me in the past week. Because how many of us have been tested this past week? Different things have come up in our life. We've all been tested. And we're going to continue to be tested. And just ambassadors right here means, I believe, a missionary. Same thing, I believe that the same ambassador of the United States, we can look at them as if they are a missionary for the United States. But see, they don't know what the word missionary means. A missionary, I think what a mission, what it really means is it makes no difference what we think when they're called. And I believe a missionary, his wife and his family, his children, and even his immediate family at home, has all have got to be touched and called of God. Because see, they're going to a foreign land. How many missionaries we've had come in here and tell us what they're going to? Y'all remember the missionary that we had? It says when he went overseas and everything, and then he went and to take a shower. And he had, they didn't have no hot water, just a hot water tank where they heated the water. But the missionary said what they had was they had an electrical wire run to the shower head that was in the shower.
And he would take it. And he would put that cord on his shower head before he got in there. To where the metal on the shower head and then the electrical wire will conduct electricity and it would heat the water to me that's dangerous. If an individual lived in a place like that in the United States, and I'm sure there are places like that, that the government would be in and they'd condemn the house. But see, they don't have nobody that comes in and looks after things like that anymore. They go in. If they can't get a dollar out of it, they ain't going. Always got to be about the dollar. It's got to be about some kind of monetary goods. It's got to always be about the dollar. True ambassador is that he is one who fears. Do you fear the Lord today? Do you? Do I fear him today? You better believe I do. I fear him so much if I got up here and if I preached and if I tell everybody there's no such a thing as hell, I'd be so scared that I'd drop dead before I got to that door to leave. Because I'd be telling a lie. Because see, he gives us the truth. And the truth will set us free. The lie does not set us free. Because once you tell a lie, once an individual tells one lie, then they got to tell another lie to cover up the first lie. Then the next thing you know, then they're telling another lie to be able to cover up the last lie. They covered up the first. They were trying to cover up the first one. So it's a constant struggle. It's a constant thing that we're doing. But we must fear God. I do fear God. I fear God to the point that I know that I cannot get up here and say one word without my comforter and without the Holy Ghost speaking through me. The true ambassador is one who fears God. But the true ambassador does fear least. He grieves his Lord. That is the fear of true love and devotion. The more we fear God, is the greater love we have for him. It is not a fear of lavish bonding, but is a fear of willing subjection. Fear that we must fear God to the point that we're willing to do everything he asks us to do. True ambassador is joyful. With great joy, the normal Christian, is a joyful Christian, is a happy Christian. And a true ambassador is one who runs the race. We know where Paul, over in the book of Acts, where Paul talks about running the race.
But Paul knows that he did not run that race alone. He knows that he could not run it alone. He knew the harder he run the race, the harder that the Lord Jesus Christ run with him. He run with Paul. That's just like when we go to bed at night and when we lay our head down upon the pillow. We don't lay just our head down upon the pillow. We're not there just by ourselves. We're not there with a spouse, but we are there. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ done for us. See, Jesus saved my soul. How did he save me? Through his precious word. A true ambassador is the one that runs the race. Paul. I think Paul was the ambassador that God wants us all to be. Because Paul, he run that race. He stayed true unto God. When they put Paul in prison, still had God with him. Paul wrote majority of all of his writings was wrote in prison. That's what kept Paul sane, is because he was there. And he knew that he was not alone. Over in the book of Acts and chapters. Okay, what is 16, something like that, where Paul and Silas there was in prison. See, the guards, the Roman soldiers and the guards, see, they weren't scared about anybody else breaking loose. Escaping the prisons. They were scared about two individuals. They said that we cannot allow them to escape. Because if we do, we know what's going to happen to us. That our own life will be taken. But I believe Paul, he was writing there, and I believe he got to a point that he just got to writing, and he just got to thinking about God and everything, and he just doesn't pray. He recognized who Jesus was. And he was right there with him. So he started singing. Him and Silas started singing the songs. I think they could have been singing a song of being redeemed. They could have some been singing a song also of amazing grace, how sweet to sing. They could also been singing a song, victory in Jesus. And we have that same victory
in Jesus. And how do we have that victory in Jesus? By being redeemed by His amazing grace. And we have the victory. See, a whole lot of people, they won't read the book of Revelation. They say, well, the book of Revelation, there ain't no happening and everything. Well, that's true. Some of it hasn't. But the first three chapters of the book of Revelation has happened. We're in the latter part of the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And when you go into the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we will be saying bye to this old world. We will be saying bye. Bye, sin. You know, no more you won't have control over me. You sin, Chris. You just told me you're saved. You mean sin has control over you? Yes, I do. Sin still has control over all of us. We don't realize it. What does sin have control over? He has control over our what? Body? The outward man? See, the outward man, this old fleshly body that you're looking at, is just as lost a day as it ever has been. But the inward man, saved, sanctified, justified, holy, and righteous. Because the Father sees what? He don't see, He don't look on this outward flesh of mine. Because see, the Father calls this outward flesh of mine our carnal flesh. And the word carnal means what? Sin. But it says, no, I'm looking what's on your heart. What's on your heart? And you know, we need to get our hearts straight. If we can get our hearts straight with God, then we'll get our mind straight with God also. We don't need to come in here and just come in here to have fun or something like that. Yeah, we can have fun as a Christian. We can laugh and we can joke and we can have a little fun as Christians. But I believe it comes to a point that we must get serious. We must get serious for what? For our own selves. For our own reasonings. We must get serious. As Brother Bill comes this morning, as everyone stands with the head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you this question this morning. Is there anything at all that you think that the Lord wants you to do for Him, but you have not done it? You said, Lord, I'm just one individual. I can't do that.
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was one individual also. But see, he went to Calvary for who? For the whole world. That's the reason it says in the book of John, while we're in his hands, he has placed the whole world in his hands. And he has. Are we doing what we need to do for God? Are we doing what we need to do for the church? For each other? Are we praying for each other? Are we praying for the individual I hear that's, yes, they claim to be a Christian, but they don't want to come to the house of the Lord? Have you ever just come up and said, well, Lord, I'm going to just come up and I'm going to just pray for them. Just pray for them. If they're truly saved, then they need to get in the house of the Lord. As we're saying, Brother Bill.
Page 318, I need thee every hour.
Page 318, I need thee every hour.